Welcome to the church where the love never ends. And we are continually growing in Proverbs 29:18, which tells us where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keepeth the law. It's an honor to be with you this morning. I'm just taking in the awesome songs that we heard this morning. And it just makes me think, so many promises that we've all heard about our walk and things that we've asked God for, but because we didn't see him move in the timing that we wanted to see them, we gave up. We said, God, you're not going to do it. Or sometimes we even question, God, can you do and I want to be honest. Sometimes that's the place that we draw ourselves to, that we as Christians, we still know God. We believe God. But when things don't happen that we need to see, our trust in God's ability to work in us. And it's not about God not being able to do, but it's about us not being able to receive his strength to do it through us. We make decisions and we pick up things and we take them to the altar, but then come Monday morning, we pick them back up and run with them ourselves. If we would just take the time to trust God, leave the very things that have plagued us, that have troubled us, leave our requests, our unctions, leave them at his altar. Leave them at his feet and allow God to be the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning, and allow him to be just that, to be God in our situation. We would see his movement. There would be no reason for us to doubt. No reason for us to feel like we're falling short or that God's not going to do it through us or with us. But we'll recognize that the miracle worker, the miracle doer that we serve is always moving on our behalf. Always moving. So as you face today, as you face tomorrow, as you struggle through last week, I just want to admonish you to recognize God is still moving.
Thank you,
God
Lord.
is always moving. God is always providing. God is always and will ever be God. Bless you, God. We honor you and we thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
The omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent God that you are, the one true. We are humbled in your presence, oh God, and we thank you for this day. But this day is a day that we will celebrate in you and acknowledge, Lord God, that you are moving on our behalf. As we bow before your throne of grace, we reverence you to say thank you. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for tomorrow. Thank you, Lord God, for today. Thank you for the trial, the test, and the tribulation. All that we would have a testimony of your glory. We honor and we bless you. And we praise the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As always, saints of God, it's an honor to be with you this morning on this Pentecost Sunday. Let's just open our mics and give God some praise as we're able to
Hallelujah.
draw together, and then we can welcome love and excited apostle at a band.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise
Thank you,
God.
Jesus. Glory
Hallelujah.
to your name, Lord
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory to your name, Father, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We honor you, Lord God. We glorify you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord God, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, Lord God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name. Glory to your name.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Amen. 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 Hallelujah, saints of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And guess what I am today, y'all?
Excited.
Excited.
Amen. 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 Excited. Excited in the Lord. Yep, so excited that I got to preach my sermon twice this morning. For those that were on here before we came on, y'all will know what that means. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise God. I do thank the Lord for what he's done. It is Pentecostal Sunday and Pentecost Sunday. And I do not have your average Pentecost Sunday word for you. However, there was a trading that went on Pentecost Sunday. You know, that is the time. Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. And on that Sunday, the disciples and others that were in the upper room, Jesus went back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit fell upon the people on Pentecost Sunday. That was a trading. Jesus was here with us in the natural, praise God, but he went on to be in the heavens again, and Holy Spirit came and was manifested there in the upper room. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon the people. They all began to speak in tongues. 3,000 people were added to the kingdom. It was the beginning of the Christian church, and that was an awesome trade that was made on that day. Praise be unto God. However, I want to take you to another place of where there was trading done. There was trading done. And those of you who know anything about stocks and bonds, you know how you're trading, and there's a trading floor. If you look at movies that had Wall Street on it, you'll see the trading. It's a very fast-paced atmosphere, and they're buying stock, they're selling stock, And there is the trade is going on, but that's called the trading floor, where there is also a trading floor in the courts of heaven. There is a trading floor. I want to start with the scripture of Ezekiel 28 and starting at verse 14. And it says, "You were an anointed guardian cherub, for I had appointed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones. From the day you were created, you were blameless in your ways until wickedness was found in you. Through the abundance of your trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I expelled you in disgrace from the mountain of God and banished you, you guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones." If you didn't pick it up, that was God talking to Lucifer. That's who he was prior to becoming Satan. He was Lucifer. And God said that he was in the holies of mountains. He was in the holy mountain of God. And that is not a physical place. That is a spiritual dimension that he was in. He was in the mountain of God. He walked among the fiery stones, describing the relationship that he had with God, the place that he was in God. He called him a guardian cherub, a guardian covering. He was an angel. He covered the atmosphere. And in the atmosphere that he created, worship was created there. And in the atmosphere of worship and so forth, healing is done, deliverance is done, miracles are taking place in the atmosphere that that Lucifer was able to bring forth. However, he got full of himself, got full of pride, and said, "I'm doing all this. Why should God receive all the glory and so forth? I'm the one that's making this atmosphere set for these things to happen. I'm basically going to be like God." And so with that, he sinned, and then he was kicked out of heaven. And saints, today, one of the reasons why he's very mad with us, one of the reasons why he hates us, was because of the fact that he was kicked out of heaven. Praise be unto God. He no longer is the one that is creating that atmosphere of worship towards God. But guess who is? We are the ones that have been given the ability to create that atmosphere before God. when Jesus went to the cross, there was a trading that went on. There was a trading that went on. Jesus traded his life for ours. He took our sin and death penalty for his righteousness and life through faith. He traded that. He made a trade. When we first came on, and I call myself playing the song that I said that fit what I was doing, that came to me. And that was the fact that I'm trading, Lord, I'm trading some things here for what you have provided. He traded the poor, us being poor. He became poverty so that we could be rich. He gave us beauty for our ashes. He gave us the oil of joy for our mourning. He gave us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This was the trading that went on. By him taking on our sin, again, he took the death penalty so that we would have a righteous life. He covered us. He covered us. We are trading our emptiness for the fullness of God. We are trading our depression for the presence of God. We move from one state in a place of atmosphere to another state of atmosphere. And whenever we're dealing with trading with Jesus, it should always be better than what it was that we gave up. You hear me? It should be better than what it was we gave up. We can't give God anything more than what he's given us back in return. Than what he's given us back in return. When we give him our state of poverty, he gives us a state of being wealthy. When we give up our sickness, he gives us health and wealth. So whatever it is we're trading in, whatever it is we do, we're doing it. And listen, it has to be done in faith. It cannot be done any other way. It has to be done in faith. And the first thing that we need to do to be effective in the place of being on the trading floor and at the trading floor and the fiery stones, that's the altar of God, and being there, when being in the mountain of God, being in that spiritual realm, the first thing we have to do is give up ourselves. We have to trade ourselves for what it is God has made available for us. And in doing this, we're able to do what it is and create the atmosphere to make the activity that we're dealing with for God's purpose to be fulfilled. Even when we give financially, our giving financially is an expression of giving of ourselves. If we want to be effective in our trading, on a trading floor of heaven, we need to first, again, trade ourselves. When we go to the store, if we went to a store and got a loaf of bread and walked out of the store, we would be stealing. We would be a thief. But when we go to that store, get that same loaf of bread, put our cash on the counter, or give our credit card, our food stamps, whatever it is that you're going to trade for that bread, you are making a transition. You are trading something. We trade all day long. The things that we are putting in place of or taking up in place of something that we're giving up. And in the trading of heaven, on the floors of heaven, when we trade ourselves, we're unlocking the grace of God. And the grace of God, if we can change that word, here we go, let's trade the word grace and change it to the generosity of God. The generosity of God. If we understand that God's grace is generous, he doesn't have to give us grace. He did not have to make it so that there are things and penalties that we ought to be paying, that we don't pay those anymore. He is very generous in what he's doing with us. He's generous even when it comes to our comes to our finances. It should be a delight. That's why he said he loves a cheerful giver. It should be a delight when we give. God has called us to be stewards over the money that he has given us the ability to gain. He gave us the ability to gain wealth. He did that on purpose. He gave seed to the sower. He did that on purpose. And every time we give, when we sow into good ground, whether it's ministry, whether it's a person, we ought to be happy that we give. Every time we sowed into the Daniel ministry or into Mama Shoes, there should have been a rejoicing that went off. And our giving and giving in the right heart, praise be unto God, giving in the right heart, in the right vein, shows that we are making a trade. God, I'm trusting you. In faith, I'm able to give. In faith, I thank you because what you have given me, I can give and sow unto others. And in standing on that trading floor, we want to give our best. And our best might not be nothing more than a dollar. Our best might not be more than an hour that we can go and do the prayer walk. Our best might not be any more than whatever it is that you've had to give. But the point is, it is your best. And you have given. And that blessing we've given with a spiritual heart, praise be unto God, we're sowing spiritually, and the blessings will overflow to us in the natural. We made a trade, praise be unto God. We don't tithe right now according to the law. Hear me, saints. We don't tithe according to the law. We tithe because it is a privilege. It is an honor to give to God. It is an honor to give to God. And yes, we start with that 10%, but it shouldn't even stop there. We should be giving as much as we can give, and whenever we can give. God is entrusting us. His grace and his generosity to us are too vast for us to even number. And we need to make the trade, trade our natural for his supernatural. If we look back at the first miracle that Jesus did, he was at that wedding feast. And the wedding feast back in that time lasted for 7 days or more. It lasts a long time. It's not like our reception that we do in 3 or 4 hours, okay? It lasted a long time. But at the wedding feast, the wine ran out in 3 days. The wine ran out. And his mother, who knew who her son was, goes to him and says to him, son, the wine has run out. And Jesus was like, okay, so what does that have to do with me? You know, it's not yet my time to reveal who I am. And she just turned away from him and said to the servants, do whatever it is he tells you to do. Do whatever it is. And so the servants turned to him and like, okay, Jesus, what do you want us to do? And when he saw the willingness of their obedience, when he saw that they were willing to do whatever it was he said for them to do, he decided then that he would take this step. And he told them to go get those jars and fill the jars with water. Now, understand, this was not like they could take a water hose and fill those jars with water. And those were tall jugs that they were filling. They had to draw water from the well and pour into that. And bucket by bucket, they were filling it up. And according to the scripture, he told them to fill it up to the brim. There are times God tells us to do something and we do it halfway. We do it halfway. In fact, listen, when people, when I'm out in public or where, yeah, out in public and sometimes at people's houses, when they give me a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, they only fill the cup up about halfway. I want a whole cup of coffee, okay? Or I want a full cup of tea. Don't just give me a little bit. And that's what happens when you go to McDonald's and Burger King and so forth. They got a line on their cup that they're going to fill your drink up to that point, but they're going to see to it there's enough ice in it to make it look like you got a full drink there. If you want a full drink, tell them no ice. And then they have to fill up that cup, okay? Because they know they can't give you a half a cup of anything. So God, Jesus told them, fill it to the brim. Fill it to the brim. And the Lord was not, understand this. When they did this, they did it in faith. They didn't know what he was going to do. Jesus doesn't tell us how he's going to fix our problem. He doesn't tell us that. And mind you, if you read the scripture, when they took those jugs out to the people, they took it out. It was still looking like water. It didn't look like wine at that point. It was looking like water according to the scripture. But when they dug in it, you know, got a scooper full, put it in their cups or whatever the case may be, and began to drink it, it was the best wine that they had. It was the best wine. In other words, God had saved the best for last. It was expensive. And so they were saying, and you could say, like, well, the people have been drinking, and you know, they say normally you wait till the people have had all the drinks and so forth, and of the good stuff, and then you put in the weak stuff at the end. Well, this was better than what they had before. What God does for us when we are trading with Him, when we are trading, going into the courtroom of heaven, and this is what He's put on the table for us, saints of God. And by faith, we ought to take what has been provided for us. This whole thing, this whole experience is a transformation in our lives. It is a change that is going on. Are you willing to make a trade with Jesus today? Are you willing to pick up what He has made available to you? Again, nobody knew what Jesus did to that water, except the servants who were still in that room. They knew that He did whatever He did. They were the ones who knew about it, but the rest of the guests had no idea. God is looking for us as servants, as intercessors that will pay the price and will make the trade. He's looking for people that will bring offerings as they step onto the trading floor, as they take a risk to believe God as they step into this dimension of the spirit realm and shifting things so that everybody else could be blessed because of this trade. We are trading our little and it turns into much. If we look in the book of John in chapter 6 and verse 9, this is where, starting where Jesus fed the multitudes of the 5,000 men, women and children, but 5,000 men alone. Then there were women and children added on to it. Where was the food? There was no food. And then Philip said, but look, there's a boy over here. He's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, mind you, when Philip said that, in the spirit realm, Philip had a glimpse of saying that he can feed, Jesus can feed them with this. But then he came right back quickly into the natural and said, but what good is that going to do? It's only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, Jesus showed him what good it was going to do. He took those 5 loaves of bread and he took those 2 fish, fed every single person that was there, and there was much that was left over. He took the little and he traded it for much. God can take the little in your life today, my love, and bring much out of your little. Don't think when somebody is asking you for your time or asking you for a donation, asking you for anything that's dealing with the kingdom of God, that what you have to give is too little to give. God will take your little and make much come out of it. Understand again that on Calvary, Jesus made a trade. He traded his life for our life. He traded his life of fullness, of health, of wealth, of protection. Everything that he had, he gave it up so that we might have it. And he took on our sinful nature. He took on everything that we did wrong. He took all of that on so that we might walk in a new trade, that we would be transformed and be as he is. Saints of God, this morning on Pentecost Sunday, the trade was made on Pentecost Sunday. The trade was made. Jesus went to be with his Father. Holy Spirit came to be with us. That empowers us, that strengthens us. And in our faith, we must trust what God has made the provision for. We've got to walk in faith. We've got to step out there and take it. And so today I ask you, Are you willing to make the trade, or do you want to hold on so tight to what it is you have? And this trade is done in the courtroom of God. God is our righteous judge. He is the righteous judge. Satan is the accuser. He's coming to accuse you of everything you said, everything you did, every thought that you had. He is there to accuse you. But praise be unto God, Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is our lawyer. He goes before the righteous judge and he presents our case. Saints of God, as we go into the courtrooms of heaven, we must confess our sins. We must repent. We got to acknowledge that we were wrong. We've got to repent for what it is we've done wrong. Praise be unto God. And then we have to hear what the verdict that God will give us. What is the verdict that God will give us? Will he say you are to spend a lifetime, eternity in hell? Or will he dismiss that case against us and say that we are able to spend eternity with him? Today, I implore you to step onto the trading floor in the courtroom of heaven and take the verdict that God has given you. Be not afraid and be not ashamed. Be obedient and walk in faith, for he has greater things for you. He has purposed us with the ability to do great things and create an atmosphere where healing will be done, because we are there and we have established an atmosphere of worship. We've established an atmosphere of praise. We've established an atmosphere of faith, that we are walking in the faith of God. Saints of God, will you make that trade in heaven, in that courtroom on this day? Don't be afraid to say, God, I've sinned. Because he knows. So don't go before him, praise God, saints. Don't go before him lying. Don't you dare, because he already knows. But it's when we are obedient and when we walk in faith and say, Father, forgive me. I repent and I will turn away from what it is I have done. That is your challenge today. That is your challenge today. Is there anything that you're holding on to that you don't have the faith to believe? God has his spirit living within you. And with the spirit of God, you should be able to discern that which is truth and that which isn't, and walk in that place so that you might be planted as trees of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. And with that being said, I'm going to ask Minister Denise, Mama Shoes, I'm going to ask her to come forth as God has shown her something, and I'm going to let her share that with us. And to those of you that are on the internet, praise be unto God. Anything that is said on this line, said in any service that we do, it goes to you. You are not too far away from the presence of God to receive and to grasp and to hold on to this thing. There are those of you that might be hurting and crying and disappointed. Those of you are saying there's nobody that I've got the fellowship with and so forth. You can walk on that trading floor today and trade your sorrows, trade your pain, trade your illnesses, trade your iniquity. You can trade it all, praise be unto God, so you can walk in the fullness of all that God has. And guess what? When you do, we heard the song this morning, he is able, hallelujah, he is able to do, and he has done. The thing now, darling, will you pick it up, beloved? Will you trade your sorrows for the joy of the Lord? Will you do that? In Jesus' name, I surrender and give the floor over to Denise. Praise be unto God, and let everything keep rolling. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I am going to give you some background on what I'm about to tell you. In in November, on November 26th of 1829, George and James Potter committed acts against the Postal Service by stealing mail, basically, stealing mail. Then again, on December 6th, they were stealing mail, and this time they wounded a carrier. And so these men were taken to court on the 4th of April in 1830. They entered pleas of not guilty. The men were then brought to trial on 6 different charges against them. On May 27th in 1830, they were sentenced to death on the 2nd day of July. But on May 27th, George Wilson withdrew his pleas of not guilty on all indictments against him. All except for those that were nolle prosequi, which means that the prosecutor and the attorney, and the plaintiff will no longer go and seek any further action against these charges. And on that day, when he withdrew his not guilty plea, he entered a plea of guilty. On June 14th, 1830, George, President Andrew Jackson wrote this. He had granted a pardon for George Wilson.
Mm.
Now, the other young man was put to death on July 2nd, as it said that he would be. This man, it says it was recommended that he was a fit subject for the exercise of executive clemency by a numerous and respectable body of petitioners that were praying for him. I thought that was just so important that he put that in there, that these people were praying for him. And he received a remission of the sentence of death. This pardon did not extend to any other charges that might be brought against him. In October, he must have done some other crimes, because one of his cases did not go into effect until October of 1830. And when that went into effect, then there was like, well, the prosecutor and all, he wanted to send this case. He was taking the case before the judge, but the judge, because this man had been pardoned once before, didn't really want to deal with this new case. And so he said, basically, let's send it to the Supreme Court and let them decide. So when he got to the Supreme Court, by then, this is what happened. In this case, the grand jury found that an indictment against the prisoner for robbing the mail to which he had pleaded guilty, withdrew his plea and pleaded guilty on a motion by the DA. And at a subsequent day for judgment, the court suggested propriety of inquiring as to the effect of a certain pardon, understood to have been granted by the President of the United States. And since this conviction on indictment allegedly related to a conviction of another indictment, then that motion was adjourned. So the cases were connected. And the judge didn't know. The judge said, look, he's already been pardoned for that. How can I say, well, you're guilty of this? Because they're connected. And that's what they sent to the Supreme Court to let them decide. And at the Supreme Court, when it came time and they wanted to talk to him, this man decided he would not speak. And this is what the Supreme Court said. The court cannot give the prisoner the benefit of a pardon unless he claims the benefit of it and relies on it by plea or motion. The form in which he may ask it is not material to this inquiry, but the claim must be made in some shape by him. It is granted to him, it is his property, and he may accept it or not as he pleases. This doctrine is not meant to be contended for. It is admitted that he may avail himself of it at any time by plea before or after the verdict of confession, but is insisted that unless he pleads it or in some way claims its benefit,
make the trade.
thereby denoting his acceptance of the proffered grace, the court cannot notice it.
My God.
Nor allow it to prevent them from passing sentence.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
The whole current authority establishes this principle. And this is something that just really got me. When we look at a pardon as it's confined to the capital cases, it said it exists in cases of misdemeanors also. So when you're pardoned, you get a pardon from little crimes as well as the big crime.
Amen.
His was a big crime because they said he wounded a man to the point where he endangered this man's life. The other guy, on May, he could have taken back his not guilty, and he could have pleaded guilty. He could have confessed his sin and begged for the mercy of the court, but he didn't. But George Wilson had people praying for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the man confessed his sin. Now, this is the scripture that I want to read to you. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved.
Mm-hmm.
For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him and who they have not believed?
Mm-hmm.
And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? This man had people praying for him. God touched the heart of the president, who gave him a pardon. And all he had to do was accept it. And how are we any different than this man who committed sins against his neighbor if we do not accept the grace? And they said that grace was mm-hmm. shown to this man. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what, God has shown us grace. And if we refuse to accept the grace that has been extended to us, God is given a pardon when he sent his son to die for us. He granted us a pardon. And this man refused to accept the pardon. And the court said, we cannot force him to take it. And the word of God says, God does not force his pardon on anyone. We have to accept it. The man confessed. They say, if you believe, confess. But he stood there and said nothing. And so George Wilson was put to death. Mm-hmm. There are many people who will hear the word, and it's not our responsibility to force them. It's just our responsibility to take them the word. Pardon has already been granted for you. Do you accept it? Do you believe what God has done for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I heard that, I mean, that thing just, I was like, Lord. And I can imagine how the people felt who had been praying for him. Because he said, I'm not saying, I will refuse to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not be so foolish as George Wilson.
Amen.
Let's accept the grace that God has extended to us and encourage others to accept that same grace and pardon.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much. And you see how that is all tied into the trade. There was a trade that was there. And all he had to do was pick up the trade, take it. It was offered to him. And he had to trade his sinful ways and so forth and accept what it was that was done for him. Praise be unto God. I thank God how that was able to be tied into what the Lord had for me to bring forth for you today. And she, you know, did this in her prayer time. Praise be unto God. Again, showing, you know, that God, Holy Spirit, is moving. He's moving on different ones of us at the same time, bringing the same word to fortify what it is he wants us to get. This man had everything on the table for him, the pardon from his sin, pardon from his crime, and he walked away from it and ended up dying, okay? Being put to death, not just dying. He was put to death, okay? So to God be the glory. Saints of God, again, Jesus has done it all. He has done it all for us. He's put the trade on the table for us. Let's pick it up. And when you go and you talk to other people, let them know the price has been paid. All you've got to do now is accept what God has done. And you do that in faith. You accept what he has done, so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And in doing so, others will also receive it because of the fact that you have lived long enough to do the purpose that God created you for. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you to God. Let's give the Lord a praise. Praise be unto God. Let's give him a praise for all that he has done, for all that he has done. We thank him for it. And if there's anyone on this line, I can't see anyone on this line that I know that has not accepted Christ as their Savior. But if there's anyone on this line who has left anything on the table, go back to the table and get it. Confess, God, forgive me for my doubt. Forgive me for my doubting what you've done for me. Forgive me. And I will commit to walk according to your will and your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. It's back in your hands, Lady Danielle.
Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you. Great word, great examples. Thank you, Mama Shoes, Aunt Denise. That is the word, the songs, everything today just lined up and it was just awesome. So Holy Spirit, I thank you, God. I thank you. Those who participated, I thank you. I thank you. Like the trading floor, what are we willing to trade? What are we willing to trade? God and Holy Spirit did it all. Jesus did it all. Are we willing to give it up? And it just literally took me back to when we were in the courtroom with Daniel and he had the opportunity